Good morning, everybody. Changing things around, so I had to ask people to get me a little station set up. Using the fancy laptop today. Look at this thing. So today, we are exegeting Galatians 6. A shocker, after last week we did Galatians 5. This is the last chapter of Galatians, so this is going to be the conclusion of our Galatians series, which makes me very sad. I did ask Dele if we could keep going, and he said, no matter how much I like a book, I am not allowed to add extra chapters to it. So this is the end. This is a short chapter. It's encouraging. It's very practical, which are my favorite parts of the Bible that just lay it out what you're supposed to do. And we're still going to study this using exegesis, which means, remember, we go verse by verse. But I wanted this to be, I wanted the structure to be a little different. So I was going to bring my reading chair. If you remember my reading chair from my DMX sermon in December, but it's raining. And if you get my reading chair wet, it's going to release smells that I don't think would make anyone in here very happy. So we're going to use this. And I'm just going to set my stuff out like we are just chatting. Like maybe you guys are in my library at home. I have a library. I'm going to put my books out. I brought my Hufflepuff slippers. I wore my comfy mom Saturday morning outfit. Sorry I didn't let you guys know ahead of time. You could have worn your pajamas. I can tell this is going to be a good one. Because I got my anointed socks on. So, when I was preparing this sermon, it wouldn't come out. I knew exactly what I needed to say. Chapter 6 is so straightforward. Paul is basically like, do this and this and this. And I was like, awesome. Those are my points. I will say this and this and this. And I kept trying to organize this into a 3-point sermon, and it was not coming out. So, what ended up coming out is a mom chat, but like a nice mom, like an encouraging mom, a mom who's not going to let you get away with stuff, okay, but a mom who's going to help you not do that stuff that you shouldn't be getting away with, right? So we have a really cool apprenticeship program here at 21st Century Church. It's for those who are wanting to be diligent about spiritual growth in a one-on-one environment with a spiritual mentor. The thing is, though, you're going to get nurtured, okay? But also, we all have blind spots in our lives. And one of the agreements that we make before we get into an apprenticing relationship is, hey, sometimes I'm going to say something like, I see you doing this. And you got to trust me and actually do some self-reflection. You can't just be like, no, I don't do that. Move on. It's not like that. So there's an understanding that I'm going to point these blind spots out, right, so that we can work on them together. Because nobody's perfect. But sometimes we need people to show us those areas of imperfection because we have colored them over with something. Related, one of the parenting things that I am, can I say, pretty good at is realistically encouraging my kids. So I am not one of those like, rah, rah, you can do anything, buddy. Or like, oh, you lost this game, you're definitely going to get them next time. I am more the, hey, I see that you are capable. I believe that you can do this. If you don't get your butt out on that practice field, you're never going to beat that team. That's the kind of parenting I do. Paul has a similar vibe in Galatians 6. He says, look, you are going to reap a harvest. That is a promise from God. But he tells us there are some stipulations. We have to put the work in if we want the harvest. There is work that must be done. He wants us to reap a harvest. He wants us to finish our race with strength. But he also tells us, that is not going to happen if we just sit around. You don't go out on a track, sit down, and oops, I won, right? You got to move at least a little bit. So I want to offer some maternal slash apprenticing care today, okay? We would also maybe call it shepherding. The best apex quality. Anyway. So I am absolutely going to look at you and say, you can do this. You can finish the race. You can learn to reap or sow in the spirit, right? So you reap eternal life. I'm also going to say, I've noticed you seem to only eat at McDonald's. Can we talk about that? And I'm not judging McDonald's. I had it this morning. It is delicious. The McDonald's on Dixie Highway makes the best sausage McMuffin I have ever had. But I'm saying we must also eat asparagus. Okay? And not from McDonald's. It comes from Jungle Gyms. So that's going to be the tone for today. More conversational than we're used. Well, conversational. It's going to be me talking. But in a conversational tone to make you feel comfortable. So let's start at verses 1 through 5. Again, we're in Galatians 6. Brothers, and Paul meant to say, and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. So lots to glean here. Did you notice the contradiction? We found a mistake in the Bible. Paul tells us we're to bear one another's burdens, right? But also carry our own load. Does anyone else hear that in Samwise Gamgee's voice? Bear your load. Anyway, if you get that reference, talk to me afterwards. So which is it, Paul? Who is carrying my suitcase? Is it me or my neighbor? Who's in charge of this? And here's an exegesis tip when you're reading the Bible. And I cannot remember where I read this, but some author that I can't give credit to right now said, contradictions are undigested theology. When we think we've found a mistake in the Bible, oh, but it tells us this over here and this over here, sit a moment and chew on it. Especially as Americans, right? We just kind of take a bite and swallow and it's gone. And I think dietitians tell us, or nutritionists, we're supposed to chew like 30 times each bite of food. Oh, maybe I'm making that up. The point is, when you come across something like this, you should chew 30 times before you swallow. Contradictions will often work themselves out when given some brain power and some critical thinking. So the distinguishing words here, where we figure out the contradiction, is that Paul uses the word burden and he uses the word load. A load is what we carry ourselves. So this is self-care. This is responsibility. This is your job. This is your nutrition. This is your schedule. Barring extenuating circumstances, and we'll talk about those in a bit, okay? These are things you should be able to handle yourself. A burden is something extra. It could be grief, a breakup, a loss of a job, processing trauma, seasons of parenting, seasons of stress, seasons of busyness, seasons of sickness, or in some cases, a long-term sickness. These things are heavy. And there's things that we need other people to help with. Or if you're like me, you carry your burdens and your load. But I'm telling you, that Superman or Superwoman mentality will come back to bite you in the butt later. So if you find yourself going, I don't have any burdens, yes, you do, and you're tired, okay? You're tired. And I will talk to you in a moment. So that was my mom voice. Get ready. So why does Paul tell us to bear our own load? Because if you're not handling your own load, you cannot help others with their burdens. And that is something we are explicitly told to do. And if you're constantly asking others to help carry your load, the stuff that you're supposed to be handling on your own, you are taking resources away from someone who really needs help with a burden. And I know that sounds tough. I know it sounds tough. But y'all, this is something I ask my kids all the time. Did you try to solve the problem yourself? My kids will often say something like, this is too heavy. And I immediately go to fix the problem because that's the kind of mom I am. And that's the kind of person in general I am. It's a sin issue. I get it. And Adam is my husband. And he will seriously stop me and go, what are we supposed to glean from that? What are we supposed to understand? You just said it's heavy. What do we do with that information? He's teaching my kids to problem solve. Our kids. They're ours. Okay. He's teaching them, if something is heavy, I need to ask for help with manners. So instead of my kids just expecting me to intuit what they need, which I do less than I used to, we're trying to teach them to say, this is heavy. Mom, can you please help me carry this? And then of course I will. Or if it's something that they can do themselves, like my six-year-old, he's in charge of putting the dishes away. He hates this. Is putting away the dishes a burden or a load? It's a load of dishes. Ba-doom. It's a load. Off the cuff, y'all. It's a load. So when my six-year-old goes, Mom, can you please help me put the dishes away? I say, kiddo, that's something you can do yourself. Right? Verse 4 tells us to test our own work. Are you working to carry your load? Are you handling your life in such a way that enables you to carry your load? I want to spend a minute here on the idea of self-care because it is a super important part of carrying your own load. If we are supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves, then I think it is fair to check in with ourselves and ask, do I love myself? Am I taking care of myself? And I don't mean bubble baths and face masks and frisbee golf, although those can be a part of self-care. They're a part of self-care. But I mean showing yourself actual, ongoing care. Rebecca Lyons, in this book, look, I have it right here. Yeah, Rhythms of Renewal. This is a fantastic, practical book on how do I get restful rhythms and restorative rhythms in my life. So she says we need 4 rhythms of renewal. And remember, rhythms are ongoing. It's not just something we go to when we're in crisis, right? And those 4 are rest, restore, connect, and create. Those are the 4 rhythms we should have going on in our lives. Rest, which gives me hives, restore, connect, and create. Rest and restore are internal. This is making sure you take time away from work. At some point, you must stop working. You must. This is like taking a break from social media. This is like taking a break from, I used to be able to just say Netflix, but I think they're on the downslide. So whatever you choose to watch, Hulu, HBO Max, Disney Plus. Yeah. This is doing things that restore your body. Things like exercise, things like blueberries. These are things our body needs to keep going. Connect and create are external. This is like laughing with a friend, getting together with someone for no purpose but to spend time with them. No expectation, no success, measure of success. It's just, I just want to be with you. Take care of someone else. Send an anonymous gift. Get back into a hobby that you haven't gotten into because you won't take a break from work. These are things that take our focus off ourselves. Because if you just sit around thinking about how hard your life is, you will always be sitting around thinking about how hard your life is. It's not fun. And listen, I'm going to make a statement. Y'all know I support therapy. Y'all know I support mental health. I talk about it all the time. And also, I wonder how many of us think we're depressed when really what we need is a reasonable bedtime or a carrot stick or a leisurely walk through your neighborhood. These things are amazing and free. Carrot sticks are not free, but they're very cheap. Carrot sticks are very cheap. You don't have to go vegan. And you don't need to be...
Meat!
You don't need to become a gym bro, okay? But you do need fruit and water. Like every day. And listen, I hate this. Water is the worst drink in the world, and it's the only beverage that our body needs. Why, God? Why? Take this cup from me if it is possible. Why not sweet tea? And while we're here, can we talk about Brussels sprouts? Why? Celery, which is like chewing wet hair? Why is that what makes my body work? I don't know why God designed our bodies this way, but guess what? He did. And we can't change it no matter how much we fast and pray and grieve to God, as I have been doing for 40 years. We have got to take care of our bodies. I'm not asking us to become Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm just asking, eat a fruit. Have a nanner, you guys. Dip it in ranch like my kids if you need to. But eat that nanner. You don't have to copy everything I do in my motherhood, okay? Y'all do you. I'll stay in my lane and run my race. Now, Paul also tells us in this set of verses that we are to carry each other's burdens. Like we talked about in chapter 5, fulfilling the whole law means loving your neighbor as yourself. And this chapter is describing that as bearing one another's burdens. Loving our neighbor means letting some of their burden fall on us at times, and sometimes all of it. It is this, if you've seen, what's the last Lord of the Rings movie? Return of the King. When Frodo, who for how many years has been carrying this ring, and he is exhausted from the weight of it. And he gets right to the finish line, and he can't do it. And who gets him up Mount Doom? Sam! And he doesn't do it by holding some lambus bread in front of Frodo going, come on, Frodo, you can do it. You can do it, kiddo. He picks up Frodo, puts him, fireman carries him, up Mount Doom and helps Frodo finish his race. Who gets credit? Frodo. But Frodo would not have been able to do that without Sam. Was Sam tired? Yes, he was. But he did what needed to be done for his brother. This is a high calling. There are very few times when I've been like, wow, I feel so solid and chipper right now. I think I'll go look for somebody's burdens to carry. Most often, I am also going through something. I am also tired. But if I've been consistent at carrying my own load, right? I'm taking care of myself, so I am not at zero all the time. Then I am almost always able to help in some way. And remember, there is recognition here that though we are meant to carry our own load, we will all need help at some point. I see a meme go around every once in a while that says, remember, strong people need help too. And that is true. But sometimes I wonder if the strong people don't get help because they ain't asking for it. They afraid to show vulnerability. No one knows that they're hurting. I'm not talking to myself here. In verses 3 and 4, Paul tells us that stepping into help does not make you a hero Christian. Asking for help does not make you a weak Christian. But if you find yourself always in the position of either the helper or the helped, it might be time, and by might I mean it is, time for some self-reflection to ask yourself why. And for those super helpers, y'all that are on my team, take note that Paul warns us not to get caught up in the transgressions of others. When we are consistently carrying the burden of those who refuse to carry their own load, we can get caught up in their cycle of dependency. They don't have a reason to learn to carry their own load because we're always swooping in to help them. And we're afraid to stop helping them because they will fall apart when they stop getting that help. Sometimes helping actually looks like letting people face the consequences of their own actions. It's one of my favorite TikTok sounds. That, well, if it isn't the consequences of my own actions. So to summarize, truly care for yourself and be on the lookout for people around you who could use some burden help. And when you're stuck, aka you've tried the carrots, you've tried the squats, you've tried painting a picture, and you're still not getting it. You're still not up off your butt yet. Reach for help. You've done all you can do. Ask for help. And y'all, can I push a little? This is not in here. You can't do it passive-aggressively. You can't get around the table and go, I'm so tired. So tired. And then when no one helps you, you're like, no one helps me. They don't know what you need, person. Let them know. There. I learned that one the hard way in marriage. Okay, so verse 6. Moving on to verse 6. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. This caregiving extends to our teachers. Remember that teachers are not robots without needs. They are also carrying their own load. It can be a sacrificial act to get up here and teach. There is a whole lifetime of things that can happen before I stick a mic on my head and come up and act like, my life is awesome! No troubles today, no stress, my kids fed themselves, no one peed the bed, no one pooped on the floor, I have dogs. It's, okay. Share all good things with those who teach. Encourage them with what you're learning. Give back the care that you have received from them. This is something that we believe in at 21st Century Church. We call it the me for the community, not the community for me. This is not build a church, like Build-A-Bear. where you're like, I would like a goat, and I would like it to have this much fluff and these many hearts, and it will wear this hat. Okay? This is not Burger King. We do it your way. That is not the way this church works. It's me for the community. I am here to build this place. I have gifts that this church needs. If I just stand on the outside and I'm like, why don't you guys do this? Why don't you do it? Come here and do it. We'll help you. So offer back the care that you are receiving. This just happened with one of the women I'm apprenticing who said, do you just want to come over to my place and I'll make you kimchi and we'll watch a movie and we don't even have to talk? And I started crying. It felt so, so good to get an invitation like that. She doesn't want anything from me. She just wants to be with me and hopefully watch Encanto because I have to watch it for work. But also I need to stop working. What's happening? Okay. Think of the series that we have had this year, right? Real Talk About Race, the Ruth series from January, Pastor Daley's series on identity. These were quality teachings, deep, deep teachings. Sharing what you've learned from those sermons with the teachers will just encourage them that their work is not in vain. This is not a church that says a lot of like, amen. I'm just assuming you guys are listening. Maybe you're not. Maybe y'all are playing Emoji Bliss. That's me. I'm on level 310. Okay. This will encourage them. Teaching can be incredibly vulnerable, and it takes so, so much work. For example, we have a series coming up in October. Okay? That is 3 months away. We've been working on it for 2.5 months. Pastor Daley and I have spent over 30 hours working on this series, and that is not planning the sermons. That's just the discussing, the praying, the truth-seeking, because we don't want to come up here and just say good ideas. We don't want to come up here and just say sound bites, something that y'all will put on your Instagram and be like, Pastor Bethany is my favorite pastor. She said this. We want to be revelatory with truth. And that takes work. So Pastor Daley is going to be sharing more about this in a series we have coming up called Honor. But at the end of the gathering today, we're going to have a chance to practice this caregiving of teachers, okay? Amen. Okay, verses 7 through 10, very, very famous and iconic verses. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So this is what is called the law of reaping and sowing. You put seed into ground. Seed grow, you reap seed, right? That's called gardening. There is consequence to consistently giving in to the desires of the flesh. It reaps, you will reap, which means gathering the harvest that you will have is corruption. It's death. It's stress. It's anxiety. I won't bring up orgies again like we talked about last week, but we talked about what that reaps, right? We have the recording if your interest is piqued. But reaping in the Spirit gives eternal life. God cannot be tricked out of this law by hidden motivations or excuses for sowing in the flesh. Guys, this is the mom part of the talk, okay? If I say to you, hey, I've noticed you frequently mention that you don't have money for what you need, but I also noticed that you eat out several times a day, and last I checked, that costs money. And you say, I know it's something I should work on. But then you keep on not working on it. Kiddo, that's an area where you're being willfully disobedient. You are purposely sowing in the flesh, which might not seem like a big deal, except that in these verses we hear, it will reap destruction. Maybe it's not affecting you today, but those credit cards do have a due date. They will call you. I used to live the credit card life. They gonna find you, get their money. Continuing to sow in those areas is going to reap destruction in your life. But reaping in the Spirit gives eternal life. And the sowing in the Spirit doesn't mean you've beaten that spending habit. It means you put the work in to learn self-control. Every time you say no to buying something you don't actually have the money to buy, you're sowing in the Spirit. You don't have to be perfect at it, but you're working on it. Every time you show patience when what you really want to do is sucker punch a fool, that is sowing in the Spirit. You're sowing in the Spirit. Every time you choose joy instead of self-pity when things don't go your way, or God puts you on a path that you were like, no, I wanted to go on that one. Every time you choose worship, every time you choose gratitude, every time you choose kindness, is sowing in the Spirit. And there is a promise of a harvest if we don't give up doing good. There is an acknowledgement here of weariness in doing good. Okay? And this is something that Pastor Justin has been bringing up in our staff meetings that I thought has been very wise. But if we constantly focus on what is going wrong, or what is difficult, or a delayed harvest that we are absolutely sure should be here by now, we won't have the strength to keep going. Adam and I had a very long and heavy season, years long, when we were in foster care and Oliver was living with us as a foster child. And eventually I had to learn that I had the choice to either wake up every day and think, this could be my last day with Oliver. Or I could choose to think, I get to have today with Oliver. It doesn't mean I never cried. It doesn't mean all the grief went away. It just meant that the hard days were easier because I wasn't drowning in that grief. There is a time for grieving, absolutely. And we will have long seasons where it feels like nothing is going right. We still need to take the time to celebrate and express gratitude to God, even if we're weary. The very act of worshiping when our load feels heavy lightens our load. This is very much connected to the rhythms of renewal that we talked about a few minutes ago. And if you want further information on this, I would talk to Pastor Nick. He's got great thoughts on restorative Sabbath time, not just like I'm off, I'm not doing anything to like actually rest. Sometimes the last thing I want to do is get out my journal and write out my feelings. I don't want to do that. I just want to sit here and be like, I'm not happy. But that act of creativity reconnects me with the God who knows how all of this is going to turn out. My whining does not solve any problems. I keep trying. It doesn't work. It reminds me that I need Jesus, not my own solutions or my coulda, woulda, shouldas. So verses 11 through 16. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand, one of the funniest verses in the Bible. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Doesn't peace and mercy sound better than stress and anxiety? I was going to be worried about anyone who argued with that. The motivation of these circumcisers who are telling the Galatians, you've got to be circumcised, they're not even motivated by Jesus. They don't care about the Galatians. They care about themselves. They don't want to be persecuted. And they want to boast in how many people they've convinced to be circumcised. They want to prove themselves. But Paul's only motivation is to boast in Christ. He's saying tough things in this letter, but not because he's their enemy. It's because he truly cares about them and their relationship with Christ. I truly care about your life, your well-being, your health, your relationship with Jesus. And as a mom and a teacher, that means I work to restore you gently. There's got to be both restoration of what should be and gentleness in that work. Verse 15 says we are a new creation, and part of my job and my absolute joy is to gently make sure you are clinging to that new life and not the old habits and desires that hold you back from running freely. What we teachers boast in is the work we get to watch Jesus do in your lives if you'll let him. And that is the book of Galatians. So what we're going to do here, we're not going to do a typical ministry time because I want you guys to have a chance to practice what we talked about today. So I'm going to explain what we're going to do. Pastor Justin is going to come up and give a really quick dismissal. And then there are thank you cards out on the Connection Center, that desk out there where there's sometimes cookies and stuff. Please take a moment, write an affirmation or an encouragement to someone on the staff. That's Ray, that's Nick, Dele, Onia, Justin, me. It can be quick. It can be long. If you need to take it with you, go for it. If you don't feel comfortable giving it to that person or that person is not here, give it to me. I will promise not to read it, and I will deliver it. And then the very last thing is, I know this type of exercise can be difficult. I know not everyone in here lives and breathes and eats the gift of encouragement. Like, is my joy. But I encourage you to write even a brief thank you to someone. Remember that this too is sowing in love and kindness. Thank you.